Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is indeed time for the Mike Tomlin News Conference, sponsored by CGR Wholesale Roofing and Siding Supply Center. And here's the coach.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a quick synopsis of the last performance. And really, the perspective that I had post-game kind of remains to be the perspective that I have, you know, as I sit here today. You know, there's disappointment and frustration that comes with the outcome, but it's not anything about the outcome that's mystical from my perspective or our perspective. And so, although it's frustrating, I think that we're all motivated to address it and to continue to work to do some of the things that we need to do to change the outcome of these games. It's a splattering of things, but oftentimes it is in the National Football League. There's a fine line between winning and losing. If I go back and look at some of the things that transpired in that game, I thought the penalties were a component of play. We're penalized in the special teams game. That didn't help our cause from a field positioning standpoint. I thought some of our drives, particularly in the first half, were slowed down by penalties, things that are within our control. We got to get better in those phases. From a defensive perspective, I thought our inability to get off on possession downs in the fourth quarter was significant. And we've looked at that, and, you know, we sustained some in-game injuries and so forth in the secondary that made some of those possession down things challenging in terms of the things that were at our disposal. Obviously, we went into the game down a couple of guys, and then some things happened in the game. And when we looked at the tape, you know, we just weren't tight enough in those circumstances. And so there's some lessons to be learned from that. Oftentimes lessons are painful ones. Your ability to close out games from a defensive perspective often define you, your unit, and your team in the NFL. And so we acknowledge that. It's interesting. It's the second game we've kind of been in within four that we had a myriad of defensive injuries that have kind of cost us timeouts within the last 2 minutes of the game. So it's been an attrition component of it that you have to acknowledge, although you don't seek comfort in it. We got to continue to coach all parties involved. You guys know the philosophy that we live by. Either you're a starter or a starting and waiting, the standard of expectation doesn't change. And so we got some work to do in terms of being able to live up to the standards as we deal with some of the things that come with playing football. And attrition and injury and the loss of people and personnel is just a component of it. It's not only for us, but it's also for those we play against. And so we got to be better in those areas as we look at it. In regards to the quarterback position, we made a change in game, and Kenny will start this week. And I just want to talk about that for a moment. We made the change. Obviously, Mitch's performance was a component of the decision, but not the only component of the decision, and I just want to be really clear there. Oftentimes, the quarterback position gets too much credit, too much blame. We haven't moved the ball fluidly enough to our liking. We hadn't put enough points on the board. The quarterback is a component of that, but not the only component. We've all got to absorb the responsibility that comes with what we haven't done, particularly in that phase, including myself and starting with myself. And so when you make a quarterback change, you're really sensitive to that component of it, because I don't want to dump the responsibility of what transpired at Mitch's feet. That's not fair to him. He's played better than that description, but we haven't. And so in an effort to be better, in an effort to score more points, in an effort to move the ball more fluidly, we decided to go to Kenny in the hopes that he would provide a spark for us. You know, we felt that not only in terms of our ability to move the ball, but just in terms of energy. And so hopefully that's a catalyst for us as we try to move forward and change the outcome of some of these games, man. Our business is winning. And we're about our business, and we've lost three games in a row, and we got a formidable opponent this week. And so a lot of things to be excited about, a lot of things to have urgency regarding, and that's just a component of it. And so I thought that was deserving of extended time and discussion there. We have no reservations about what Kenny is going to be capable of in terms of our schematics. Obviously, we have a level of concern about the environment we're taking him into, but you know, you have a level of concern about any quarterback that you take into that environment versus that defense and that venue. And so that's a component of it, but not a significant component of it outside the usual in terms of respecting it. Kenny has shown us maturity at every point throughout this process. He's older than most rookies, and that was obviously leading up to the draft process. The things that we valued in him from a draft perspective, fluid and quick decision-making, pro-like anticipation and things of that nature have proven to be true. That's why we took him when we were given the opportunity to do so. Since we've acquired him, he's done nothing but fortify that thought process and make some plays during team development and during the preseason. And he's continually gotten better even after the regular season has started. Those of us that are here day-to-day from a practice standpoint know and understand that and see the progress. And equally as important, see his mature and professional approach to readiness. And so we're excited for him and about him, but we got work, all of us. It's a collective. We're all responsible. And so we prepare with an edge knowing that. And from an injury standpoint, got a few things to talk about. Witherspoon, you should anticipate him still being out. We got some other guys monitoring some health-related things. Edmonds is in the concussion protocol. Mika has a knee that needs to be managed and watch him progress throughout the week. Cam Sutton has a groin, a hamstring. And Cam Hayward has an elbow and an ankle. So we got some things to manage. But I don't necessarily view that as a negative, to be quite honest with you. It might minimize these guys some during the week, but what it will do is provide more reps for those that are playing in place of them. And oftentimes, when things happen in-game, those guys that are playing in place of people aren't afforded the opportunity to ready themselves. And so I'm going to view it as a positive. I'm going to focus our energies on the guys that are working. We're going to remain hopeful about the inclusion of these guys, and we're going to let their participation and the quality of their participation as we get toward the latter part of the week be our guide in terms of determining whether or not they'll be available to us. In the meanwhile, man, we're really going to focus on some of these guys that get an opportunity to elevate and participate and make sure that they're on the screws. We got the type of detail and communication we need from them to put together a good collective in an effort to go up there and do the job, man. We've been in this environment before. We've been in stadiums versus this group a lot here in recent years. We know them. They know us. The venue is a component of the matchup. We opened out up there last year in week one. On the offensive side of the ball, you better deal with Josh Allen and his unique skill set. He's an elite passer. He's an elite runner or creator. It's challenging. It's simple mathematics, you know. They got some receivers like Diggs that require attention that could mean two people, whether it's zone or man schematically. Anytime you're facing a quarterback like Josh, oftentimes it means five rushers. And so do the math, man. When you got that type of talent on the perimeter, when you got that type of talent in the pocket at quarterback, it makes defense challenging. You wish you could utilize 12 or 13 guys. We don't, so we got to be thoughtful about how we deploy our 11. We got to change some things up. We got to keep them off balance. We got to know what it is that we're doing. If we're out of place, there's going to be consequences for it. That's just the reality of it. We got some challenges on that side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, talking about Buffalo's defense, man, they got quality players in their front. The acquisition of Von Miller is obviously significant, but they've had some high-quality guys. They've drafted guys high in the draft, there for a long time up front, and built their unit that way. On the second level, you can't say enough about Milano and Edmonds, man. They're all situations players. They make plays for them at all levels. They blitz, they cover, they run game tackle sideline to sideline. They got a veteran secondary from a safety tandem and nickel perspective. There's some change over at corner, but they're doing things very similar to how they've done it in the past. Johnson is significant at the nickelback position. They play nickel versus almost all personnel groups, and that speaks to the versatility and the confidence that they have in Johnson. The Ravens were playing in some big personnel groups last week in the ways that the Ravens do. And, boy, they sat in nickel. You saw Johnson playing in the box and doing so well. He could cover wide receivers. He can cover tight ends. He can fit in the run game. That versatility, along with the versatility at the safety position. DeMar has played really good for him back there at the safety spot. They got continuity. They know what it is they're doing. They communicate well. They minimize big plays. For example, and through four games thus far, they've given up, I think, six runs of 10 yards or more and 10 passes of 20 yards or more. That's got to be kind of tops in the league. They minimize chunks. They make you earn it. You better stay on schedule. You better not be highly penalized. Those are some of the things that we're talking about as we formulate our plan here at the early stages. But again, none of it will be kind of a surprise. They do what it is they do. I'm sure they'll say similar things about us because we've just been in the stadium against each other so often here in recent years. It's like a division game, if you will. I know we're going to have that level of urgency. I know we're going to have that level of respect for the environment that the Bills Mafia is capable of creating. And so I'll pause there, man, and open it up for questions.
Mike, last week here you had said that, one, the guys that tune out the noise, remain committed to the plan. Was there any one particular play or plays or incident that you changed the plan?
No, I don't know if it's any one particular thing. It's just how I felt and how we felt in game. I think we also talked last week or about, when you're there, how do you know when you're there? And I said, you just kind of know when you're there. And I think that's probably the perspective that I have on the decision-making component of it.
When we talked to you after the Cleveland game, you said definitively, no, we're not changing anything. You said you felt it in the game, but was there any point in the 10 days or how did your thinking change in that?
It was just what I outlined over here. We weren't moving it fluidly enough. We need to move it more fluidly. We need to score points. That's just the feeling I had in stadium last week.
Mike, what did the tape show you? How would you evaluate that half play from Kenny?
From Kenny? Like I mentioned, I thought he provided a spark for us. I thought we moved it more fluidly. I thought we put some points on the board, obviously. It wasn't a perfect half of play. We turned the ball over some. You can't do that. And he's a young guy. He's going to grow throughout this process, but make no mistake about it. We're not grading him on a curve. He's not grading himself on a curve. There's an expectation of quality play and playing to win.
Mike, from that emotional standpoint, you've used the word spark a number of times, as have the players in relation to Kenny going in. I think a lot of people hear that and think singular within the moment of the one game, but how sustainable is that energy boost potentially for the next month?
I think he provided a spark in game that is tangible, that we saw and could feel and appreciate. But I think it goes beyond that. I think that he's kind of provided that spark since we've been stepping in stadiums. It's just a component of who he is as a player and a quarterback, the things that he does, how he communicates, his competitive spirit. I think it's a positive catalyst for us.
Do you see him naturally being more aggressive than Mitch, just in the plays, that the risks he's willing to take and the way in which he plays?
I think the tape and his play will tell that story over the course of time, obviously. You know, playing and speculating about playing are two different things.
Who will be his backup this week?
Mitch.
How did Mitch handle the news about the change this week?
Man, the way that you would expect, man, there's disappointment. He's a competitor. He's a professional. He's a hard and diligent worker. He wants to be a positive contributor to our efforts and the reason why we're successful. And, you know, the change doesn't afford him an opportunity to do those things. And so, you know, it's something to absorb. We respect it. Just in the same ways that we respect some of the things that Mason Rudolph has gone through this process, where he used to be a backup and he's been a number three to this point. And so whenever you're working as a collective, oftentimes there's setbacks for individuals within the collective as you pursue what it is that we all need. And being a part of a team, I think we all understand that. But at the same time, we don't want to discount it or be desensitive to it because we're in it. We're sensitive to the situation that Mitch is in. While at the same time, we got a game to get ready for, and we got a ready Kenny. And so I'm sure that Mitch is going to be professional. Mitch has been a part of that program in Buffalo. I'm sure he's going to be a positive contributor to our readiness and provide awesome insight throughout the preparation process and be a big help to Kenny. I just appreciate the professionalism that all our quarterbacks have displayed throughout this process. All of them, Mason, Kenny, Mitch, they've been a pleasure to work with.
Mike, because of you know, where you're playing and the fact that Mitch was there last year, did you give any thought of coming
yes,
back to Mitch?
I did.
Are there aspects to the offensive scheme that are unique to Kenny that are not to Trubisky?
I think that'll be told over the course of this upcoming weeks with how we play from a personality standpoint and the things or the concepts that we choose to highlight in stadium. Oftentimes you can go into a game with a list of 120 to 160 plays, and you know what you pull off that ready list oftentimes dictates what is perceived as your personality. And so the plays that we pick off for Mitch might be slightly different in some ways than Kenny, and so that will be revealed over the course of the upcoming weeks, the differences that you ask about.
Mike, the quarterback position is unique in football, where you're not only just the guy throwing the football, you're kind of a de facto leader. What have you learned about Kenny in the pre-draft process from the time you've had him, about the type of leader he's going to be for this football team?
You know, I've watched him grow in those ways in a neighborly sort of way during his time at Pitt. It's something that you could see that he consciously pursued and was thoughtful about, while at the same time it's a natural act. And I think that that's something that all quality leaders, particularly at the quarterback position, have. They better be intentional, because there's a myriad of responsibilities that come with being them. But it aids them when it's a natural act and they have an inclusive personality. They're good communicators and listeners and so forth. And he's displayed all of that.
Mike, is keeping Mitch as the backup a way to show him that, hey, it wasn't all on you, and to keep him involved and engaged, as opposed to giving Mason the half this week?
No, he's deserving of that, and I don't know that it's any messaging associated with it other than the fact that, you know, he's the next best option for us this week as we ready ourselves to play.
Does Mitch still go out? I know this is nitpicky, but as a captain, would he still go out for coin tosses?
Yes. Yes.
But you have to be, I know there's dynamics associated with the quarterback being taken number one. To use the word again, do you have to be definitive, steadfast, resolute for a long chunk of time moving forward here with Kenny because of that? Or is this a week-to-week thing with quarterbacks here?
You know, when we make decisions, man, we don't anticipate blowing in the wind. That's not how we are. While at the same time, we understand that what transpires after that decision making often determines how we move forward. We're optimistic and thoughtful in our thought process. We believe in Kenny. We're getting ready to play this week, and we're singularly focused on preparing for and ultimately playing a good game and winning up there in Buffalo, and really don't have a lot of thoughts beyond that.
Mike, is there one particular area where your defense has let you down in the
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Last three games by not getting off the field and giving up leads.
Possession down, football. You know, I really felt it, but I felt it throughout. But particularly in the fourth quarter of that game, you know, we were challenged there with some of the things schematically we were able to do and the collection of guys that we had on the grass. It didn't feel comfortable. We got to get better at you know, painting our barn red if we got red paint based on the people that we have available to us in those moments.
You were challenged from a personnel perspective as well in terms of some of those letdowns, correct?
Yeah, but again, we don't seek comfort in that. You know, like I say, attrition is a component of ball. And so you look at the collection of men that you have available to you, and you formulate a plan, and you divide the labor up in an effort to secure victory. And that's our business. And so we don't waste a lot of time lamenting about who's unavailable. I know every time I come into this setting, you guys ask me about TJ's lack of availability and its impact. We can waste all day sitting around talking about the impact of him not being available, just like I'm sure the Rams could sit around and talk about what if, you know, Aaron Donald wasn't available. We better spend our time talking about the guys that are available to us, how we divide that labor up in the best effort to minimize those opponents that we're preparing for this week. We got some big challenges, man. We got guys that merit two-man attention like Diggs. We got a quarterback with big-time mobility that oftentimes includes rushing more than four. And so there's some mathematical challenges I like to describe when you face a group with so many talented components like this Buffalo Bills group.
Mike, when you're dealing with Allen and his ability to make plays off platform, specifically there was a play against Baltimore where it was a fourth down and it looked like Owe and Humphrey both kind of had him dead to rights, and he's able to beat them both. Are there coaching techniques or principles that you can give guys to try to deal with those situations?
Yeah, build a fence. You know, those are his talents. You know, it's just like trying to tackle Lamar Jackson. You know, I was watching them on the other side of the ball deal with Lamar. And when you're dealing with guys at the quarterback position that have arm and leg talent, it's challenging. And so, you know, you can coach all you want about near leg and building the fence and all of those things, but when they get you in one-on-one circumstances, they're going to win a lot of those. They've been winning a lot of those at every level that they've ever played at since Little League, I would imagine.
Mike, what has DeMarvin Leal been able to do for you when you put him out there on the edge like you have?
He's a big guy that's played in that space. He played in that space at A&M. He's active. He's growing every week. He's getting better. He's got some talent. We're excited about the overall trajectory of Leal.
Mike, with the injuries in the secondary, can you discuss how James Pierre has progressed since he lost the job last season? Is he ready to assume a bigger role if there's injuries?
We'll see. That's what I mean when I talk about the lack of availability this week from a practice standpoint. When you miss guys in practice, it really gives other guys an opportunity to show their readiness, make some plays, show some detail and communication that's associated with varsity ball. And he's done a nice job. He'll be given an opportunity to display those things this week, along with a guy like Josh Jackson and others. And so we'll put together a formula and see who best represents themselves and does the things that we need them to do during the course of the week. And we'll divide the labor up at the end.
Mike, I know that TJ's still in IR and he has a couple weeks left on there, but just what is his progress like at this
point? He's on IR. He has a couple weeks still left on there.
At safety, if you have without Edmonds and Fitzpatrick, how does that alignment go? Where does Norwood fit in? Does he slot in better at one of those
spots? He's obviously one of them. We're going to work all the safeties. If those two guys aren't practicing, all the other ones are working. And so it's not about picking and choosing. All of the remaining safeties will get legitimate work this week, and they'll have an opportunity to show detail and playmaking and so forth, and we'll divide the labor up at the end of the week.
Mike, what goes into Kenny Pickett as a rookie coming in his first appearance, being able to make adjustments at the line and calls at the line, whereas it was said that Mitch wasn't given as much liberty to do that earlier in the season?
I don't know that I agree with that component of the statement. So what's the question?
What goes into him as a rookie being able to make such calls in a game, you know, in his first experience, the practice and the work he has to do off the field to be ready for that moment?
He's football sharp. He works at it. He's mature behind his years. Those are the reasons why we have a level of comfort with some of the things that he's able to do relative to what you would expect from a rookie perspective.
Mike, are any of the guys who were placed on IR preseason now eligible to come off, like Austin, like KC, would they come off this week?
Austin is eligible to come up this week, and by come up, I mean you get an opportunity to start the 21-day window to practice and make judgments from there.
How is Calvin Austin progressing, I think, now that he's eligible to come off IR?
Again, I think that's what I just gave Stan is the information that I have. He's eligible to come off this week. That starts his 21-day window. The quality of his work and what he's able to do within that window oftentimes determines what you do from there.
Mike, when Kenny was debating whether to come out after 20, you know, he decided that he heard his draft stock wasn't that high, so he went back and obviously it paid off for him. What did you see from that year, from 20 to 21, that
I don't know that I evaluated it in that way, to be honest with you. I look at who declares for the draft, who's draft eligible, and then I start my process. I get on a moving train from a coach's perspective. Maybe the scouts have a different perspective because they scout in the fall. My process starts in the winter and spring after the season ends, and most of the time decisions are made about whether to enter the draft or not enter the draft, and so I don't waste a lot of time covering or studying guys that have decided to go back to school.
Well, I would imagine you would have casually seen components of his play, you know, since he's next door in on Saturday.
So. Casually, but not so much so that I can draw a professional analysis in the ways that you asked.
Where's your comfort level with Gunner and punt return now that he's put two balls on?
Not very high, to be quite honest with you, man. You can't put two balls on the ground in four games and feel good about it. Two is a pattern in the National Football League. You know, we say that often. We say that about runners in ball security. Whether it's four games or eight games or 12 games, two in our business is a pattern. And so we got some work there this week and some decisions to make, and he's got to get us to a level of comfort, and we look at some other options as well.
Mike, last week, Najee Harris had some interesting comments where he said, he made a point really to say, I don't want you to focus on the offensive line. It's me that deserves the criticism. How do you evaluate the run game and Najee's performance within it?
Improving every single week. But we're not graded on improvement. We're graded on results. And so they need to continue to improve in the ways that they have in an effort to change the outcome of these games.
What do you think it is about Von Miller that's allowed him to be so consistent for so long through age and injury?
He's Von Miller. You know, some guys are aliens visiting from another planet, you know. And that's just the reality of it. Man, in the National Football League, man, you got to respect all these guys, right? They're all freaky. But some guys are even freaky in our setting. And he's just one of those guys. He always has been since he came out of A&M, moving and changing and running like a corner. he needs no endorsement from me. His resume is his resume. Kudos to Von Miller. Tip of the cap to Von Miller. And I'll say this. We talk about his talents often, but this guy's a scientist. He works at his craft. He encourages, trains others to do so that are like him. That Edge Rush Summit and things that he's a critical component of, I got a lot of respect for. I spent a week with him in Orlando when we coached the Pro Bowl, and just to see the professional and scientific approach that he takes to his craft, even in a setting like that. That guy was the reason we won that Pro Bowl game. You know, I know we don't spend a lot of time talking about the outcomes of Pro Bowl games, but man, Von Miller took over that Pro Bowl game and gave us all quality checks, man, and we appreciate his efforts.
All right, thanks everybody.
Appreciate it.
Fabulous ending there, but I'm trying to picture now that Kenny Pickett's the guy, assuming there's no clerical error on the depth chart, right, Ron. I'm trying honestly here to picture Mitch Trubisky going out for the coin toss. What are we doing here? Why would he still be a captain?
He's still the captain, I guess. That's who his teammates voted him. You know, it's more of a ceremonial thing. I guess you don't have to send him out, right? He's still the captain. But, I mean,
would you send him out? I don't think I would.
I don't know. To me, it's not that big of a deal, but I get what you're saying.
Is it a big deal that Tomlin thought about going back to Trubisky? That was a question
was
from the, that was the question
was
from Jerry
and
Dulac.
He said, yes, he did.
Yes, he
it
did
was
think
Buffalo.
About it. Yeah,
that's interesting to me.
I have to ask again.
He didn't expand on that.
What's happening here? Is he convicted with Pickett here? Is this if Pickett doesn't play well? Is he? I mean, Flores went back and forth between Tua and Fitzpatrick, right?
He did.
He didn't shoot down the idea that it could be week to week, too. Whenever he was asked about that, he didn't say definitively, no, we're sticking with Kenny for the foreseeable future.
But he was pretty high on Pickett, though.
He was.
Pretty high on him.
He staked his professional future on him, really,
he
at
did,
least as far as success
him number
goes.
One, right.
He must love him. 412-928-9370, 928-9370. Let's talk about all of this. Moving forward, how long for Kenny Pickett? Is this simply it? Trial and error period. Even if he has a horrible game, is he going to be the guy moving forward? Should he be? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that Trubisky's going to be the backup. I'm going to ask these guys next. If you're Trubisky, are you offering every single shred of help you can going into this game? You're a little ticked off. You're going to keep something back. Keep something in the wallet here. We'll talk about it on Cook and Joe coming up next.
In regards to the quarterback position, we made a change in game, and Kenny will start this week, and I just want to talk about that for a moment. We made the change. Obviously, Mitch's performance was a component of the decision, but not the only component of the decision, and I just want to be really clear there. Oftentimes, the quarterback position gets too much credit, too much blame. We haven't moved the ball fluidly enough to our liking. We hadn't put enough points on the board. The quarterback is a component of that, but not the only component. We've all got to absorb the responsibility that comes with what we haven't done, particularly in that phase, including myself and starting with myself.
Mike Tomlin being very respectful of Mitch Trubisky to the point where Trubisky is going to go out and take the coin toss as a captain still in Buffalo. But he has made a quarterback switch. He also admitted to having it cross his mind to go with Trubisky again in Buffalo. Jerry Dulac asked him that question. And Tomlin said, yes, it did cross his mind to go back. Are we looking at a week-to-week situation, Ron? What if Pickett bombs in this game? What if that happens? Is he just going to stick with him now? And he's just sort of paying lip service because he wants to be respectful to Trubisky.
That's a good question. Bomb. I mean, throwing three more interceptions again, you mean, and a half?
I mean, throwing three like actual interceptions where they're to the other team.
Something like that. Yeah. Maybe he goes back. I think Pickett's going to have to be awful for that to happen. Just a little bad, I don't think. I think he stays with him.
Yeah, I mean, we all know what awful looks like a quarterback. Would he? Yep. I've made the change now, and I'm with Cower. You start ripping, especially Pickett's your future.
Yep.
Every time you rip him out, you're ripping a little bit of confidence away, I think. And yeah, have to go with him.
I think so, too. But yet I was at Elway's debut at Three River Stadium. He got benched at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if they went back to him the next week or not. Probably. I'd have to look. I mean, it happens. But I'm thinking stick with him at this point. Unless he just looks overwhelmed. And I don't think he's going to look overwhelmed.
Well, if there was an environment where you might be, this could be it. But I don't think he will either. I don't think he's – I think he's actually going to fare decently. He got put into an incredibly difficult situation last week. And yet – other than the second quarter in Cleveland, I would argue that little stretch was the best the Steelers' offense has looked all year. Let them on their longest drive, scored a couple touchdowns, rapid fire, right?
You're right.
Made a couple really nice throws. So I thought he really should have played worse than he did based on the situation he was put into and how he's been treated since he got here. And I don't mean like poorly. I mean like he didn't have any time with the starting unit. That was a really hard
take. He did have a couple things going for him, though, going in there. It was the Jets, as you pointed out, who may be the worst team. Plus, he had the whole crowd behind him, unbelievably so. So those are two good things he had going for him. But yeah, but now we'll get to see what he looks like having practice with the first team.
But it was the same Jets that they were getting nothing done against.
Right, but the crowd became energized, and I think the team did as well.
For sure. But would you agree that he should have been, by all rights, he should have bombed, really?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, again, we've talked all along. He was supposed to be NFL ready. He's older. You don't expect him necessarily to bomb, but it could have been worse, no doubt.
Yeah. No, I don't. And he was NFL ready when he came out of the draft, but that was the last time he had played in an actual football game other than preseason was many, many months. The last time he had taken reps with the guys he was on the field with was never, because Tomlin made it a one-man race in the preseason. So I just think I actually think he outperformed what any realistic expectation could have been given the set of circumstances, given the fact he had never played before, even in practice with those guys. Right. He had to sneak reps with the likes of George Pickens.
And he got Pickens involved, which is something Trubisky really never did.
Yeah, and that was
a big part of their offense.
That was that should be a huge part of their offense. So here we go with the Kenny Pickett era. Is it here to stay? I tend to think Tomlin's going to stick with him no matter what, but I don't know. The way he made it sound was anything but we've gone to Kenny Pickett as our guy. He's the guy moving forward. He certainly did not say that. In fact, he told the world, yeah, I kind of thought about Trubisky for this game. Do you believe that?
No. I think that might have been just more paying a little respect to a six-year veteran. Mm. Saying, I cast him aside. It's not necessarily forever. At least I want him to think that. I don't know that I believe that he was actually gave it thought.
No, Nader, do you think so?
I honestly do think that he had legitimate thoughts about going back to him. I don't know, man. Tomlin, a lot of what that press conference was praising Kenny Pickett, praising his abilities. He clearly has some confidence in him. There just seems to be still a hesitancy to totally commit, as in, like, we will never see Mitch Trubisky start in a game again. I don't know. I didn't
come
away from that.
You can't say never.
With that feeling.
Never in
the NFL. I'm not saying I didn't want him to say we'll never see him again.
He could certainly have said Kenny Pickett's our guy moving forward.
Yeah.
But he made it clear that it was.
Is he saying that by starting him this week?
No. He's starting him this. In fact, he said the words this week. Then he was asked, did you think about the other guy? And he said, yes. He certainly, there was definitely a non-committal movement that the Kenny Pickett era has started here, to me at least. Now, maybe it's obvious it has, but we just said if he plays awful, we're not positive Tomlin will come back with
him. Well, again, we're having him playing awful, and I don't see that happening. I don't.
Right, but what if he does? I mean, he's going it could happen. Of course it could happen.
If he plays awful, then maybe they do make the switch back, but I don't think he'll be awful. And I don't think Tomlin's going to make that switch again.
I don't think so either, but it's possible. And I'm talking what Folesy is. The entire tone of this thing was Trubisky still coming out as a captain. I thought about playing Trubisky again this week. It's not his fault. Kenny's in for this week. I don't know. There was just something in the air that was, he seems to be reluctant to say, this is Kenny's team now. This is his team now.
I didn't hear,
for better or worse.
I didn't hear that much of that. I mean, he went out of his way to praise how Pickett every step of the way has shown him something. I think he's committed to him. Again, maybe he's just paying a little respect to the veteran quarterback.
It seems unusual to me to make your move to your guy and then tell the world, yeah, I thought about playing the other guy. I don't know. Something seems weird about this, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out here.
You know, it's funny. We talk about the quarterbacks a lot, and as we should. But the whole key to this game, I think, is what they do with Josh Allen. Did you hear him say, I'd like to play 12 or 13 guys against him?
Yeah.
I think that will determine the game more than how Pickett plays.
You'd like to have an offense in the AFC that can battle a team point for point, any team, because if you don't, you really don't have a chance.
Right.
But I agree with you. They're going to have to make it reasonable.
They shut down Allen last year.
They beat the hell out of this team last year.
In the opening game, they shut him down. We'll shut them down, like Herb Brooks says to his team, because we can.
But that was with T.J. Watt.
That was with T.J.
Melvin Ingram.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. Tomlin made it clear that he's not playing with TJ. He brought it up. He goes,
right.
You guys always ask me about TJ Watt. Nobody asked him about it. He brought it up and got his point across. You know, we're playing without TJ Watt.
Yes.
I thought that was interesting.
I'm not sure outside of quarterback that there's one guy that has a more profound effect on a team. Maybe, I don't know. What's the Rams
record? What
are they,
0-7 now?
0-7.
0-7. That's pretty, what do you say about Gunner's fumbles? It's a pattern. 0-7 is a pattern. How about his answer about Gunner?
yet he sent him back out there for the next one.
How comfortable are you? Well, I don't know that he's going to send him back out this week. Maybe not. I think instead of just sending somebody in cold, for the next one. But how about him saying, how comfortable are you? Not very at this point.
You know what I'd like to see a little more of, and this is way off the beaten path of the quarterback topic. I want to see... Instead of Gunner get an opportunity on offense every once in a while, what about Connor Hayward? Pickett had a nice little connection with him. If someone's going to be that once in a while guy that we need a spark from, I want to see him on the field.
Yep, and Pickett talked about that in the preseason. He said, I got a good chemistry with him.
And then Sims has to be your return guy this game, don't you think?
I would think, yeah.
What kind of message are you sending if you put Gunner back out there?
He didn't get a helmet last week, Sim, so he couldn't have gone in on the next kick. So I would think it has to be. And if Austin ever comes back.
He could
be a kick return guy, too.
Who's Austin? Yes, I've forgotten about him.
That's easy,
but, yeah,
too.
He's eligible. He's eligible to come back, and he can also add a little something. Receiving wise, or maybe a big something
on those end arounds and stuff.
And he's a breakaway type of guy when he touches the ball. Was Tomlin overly sensitive to Trubisky? I'm sensitive to the situation Mitch is in. And if you were Trubisky, Ron, and you're in this state of being PO'd right now, are you definitely offering every little last shred of intelligence on the Bills, or are you withdrawing just a little bit out of human nature?
What are you guys doing? That's a great question. You know what? I think he is going to offer every last bit of information. not so much to Tomlin and the coaches, but because of his teammates, because of the relationship he's built with his linemen and Najee and the receivers and those guys. I think he'll do what's right for them. But your question is very fair from a human standpoint. Your tendency would be to, you know, they're shafting me here. Screw them,
yes.
Right? I'm going to back off here.
Give your.
I like to think that he will be a good teammate for his teammates, not for his coaches.
Yeah, except, Ron, it's not hard to find quotes left and right of teammates saying, yeah, we're energized. This is
yeah,
his
that's
team.
True. That's true.
When he came in, we were just more efficient, says Deontay. He plays with swag.
That's a good call. Good point.
James Daniels, too. Cam Sutton. He's a guy who's getting better. He controls that room. He controls that offense. I don't know. If I'm Mitch Trubisky, I think human nature might take over for me here. I wouldn't be a jerk. I might pretend I'm being helpful. I might offer a little.
But not
But
a
I'm
lot.
Giving yeah, every little point. Shred of intelligence. Folesy, would you? Would you?
Mm.
I think Folesy would, Ron. I think Folesy's that kind of guy.
He's a good-hearted man.
And then he would apologize for getting taken out of the lineup.
I definitely wouldn't do that.
You would, Folesy.
I wouldn't do that.
You would say to Tomlin, I'm sorry that you pulled me out of the game.
I'm sorry it wasn't good enough for you, Mike. I let you down.
I apologize
he was clear.
That you shafted me.
He was clear, though, that Trubisky's his backup. He was asked
he
that
He was
point
clear
blank,
about that.
And he later said he's our best option after Pickett.
How do you feel if you're Mason
now? I know.
He did. He highlighted Mason, though, and said he's
been professional. Oh, I know. He's been professional, too.
Stuff.
Everybody's professional. Everything was hunky-dory back in the preseason. All three quarterbacks were getting along and roasting marshmallows and singing campfire songs. What do you think it's like when they walk in there? When are they going in? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Seriously, what do you think the quarterback room is like right now? I think it's got to be frosty.
Yeah, but they got Sully in there to make things right.
Sully.
I don't think they're starting up conversations.
I think it's going to be mighty frosty.
Yeah.
And I listened to Charlie Batch the other day talking on the air, and he made it sound like it could be
extra frosty.
Like it could be, you know, we're talking about this topic with Trubisky offering help. Is he going to offer all the help he can? I don't know. And would we blame him if he didn't? I'm trying to think about that question, Ron. He's making millions of dollars. He's been given an opportunity here. But myself, as in my worst moments, a spiteful, resentful, vengeful sort.
We've all been there.
Would I go out of my way to give them all the Bills intelligence I could? I'm honestly not sure unless I was in that conversation. If I got, listen, now things are coming to mind. I became a beat writer a long time ago for the Penguins. Did I get all the help I needed from others who had been on that beat? Probably not. Did they give me their Rolodex? Probably not. Were they obligated to? Not necessarily. If I got fired tomorrow and it was the Folesy and Cook show, or I got demoted to some other position again, would they...
From star of stars.
Would I feel compelled, honestly, I'm asking this question, I think it's pertinent, to help you because you're my friend and I like you and now you'd be working with Ron. Would I give you whatever I could, you know? Information, intelligence, contacts. That's
now
to
it,
me. It depends. One, it depends on how much I like the guy,
right?
And I have no idea what Trubisky and Pickett are like
no
together.
Idea. Are we maybe overestimating the intelligence he can provide? Though,
maybe
in
yeah.
this day and age
maybe.
Of video tape and tendencies, and these coaches work 20 hours a day. You know, maybe he can some weakness of a left tackle or something he can provide.
Sure.
But I just
I think that's important stuff.
I don't think there's too many secrets anymore.
Maybe you can't hand them
film study.
Their signals.
In the old days, I would agree totally.
But I think there's plenty of things you can pump a guy on. Tendencies of receivers. You hit on it right there. Any number of things. But regardless, he's got information to give. Is he given all of it? How valuable it would be is another question. And is he supportive? Because, again, Batch hinted at the idea that anyone in that position might not be. Right. And that's why him and Ben work so well together. Charlie knew he was the backup.
He was not going to take the job.
Right.
Now, is Trubisky, when Pickett comes off the field after a series, is he going to be right there? I saw this. I saw that.
That too.
You know, that's what, you know, Ben always went to Josh Dobbs.
Yes, he did.
He went to the rocket scientist.
And did you see on the Football and podcast where Ben said he and Pickett exchanged texts after the game?
I did see that.
That would automatically mean more texts between him and Pickett than him and Rudolph in their whole lives. At least I'd be willing to bet a lot of money on that.
I would be too.
So is he obligated to – see, that's the part that I would withhold, I think, because I'm not a great person. I wouldn't be gung-ho about saying, Kenny, I saw a look there that we can exploit next series.
And then Kenny becomes a bigger star and
right.
I get buried deeper.
I don't know that I'd be willing to do that. Would you, Folsy? Would you, Ron?
Oh, man.
Would you?
You know, the Steelers have been known over the years for – the older players to help the younger players, even if the younger players take their job. I remember like Kiesel talking about Cam.
Yes.
He would do everything he could to help Cam.
Yes.
Even though Cam eventually pushed him out the door.
I think that's gone.
So it probably is. But each case is different. You know, maybe Pickett and Trubisky have become best friends. I don't know. Or if they're not, then it could go the other way.
What would you do?
I don't know. I like to think I try to help my teammates. But I can't say that for sure. You know, I like to think I'd run into a burning building to save somebody, but until you're in that spot, you can't answer it, you know?
Man, is it interesting. You know, you notice even in youth sports, high school sports, whatever, pro sports, college sports, every team, there's personal agendas. You know, you think everybody's together, but somebody will walk by in the hallway, oh,
especially,
they're on your team, you
know? Especially in the professional level because their livelihood is at stake.
Absolutely.
You know?
So if I'm Mitch and I see something that we can exploit in this game because I've been around for 7 years, do I tell my coaches and pick it?
I think it also factors in of whether Mitch thinks this is his absolute last shot or not. I wonder if he thinks he can still catch on somewhere else, maybe he is more willing to give up that information. Say, hey, do everything you can here in Pittsburgh. But when I'm in wherever next year, you know.
Can it be both ways, too? Can he have already asked for a trade, maybe?
Sure.
He might have gone in and Mike to Tomlin Monday, after the game, and said, hey, Mike, this is not fair to me. I want out. Do what you can. And then in the meantime, try to help out as much as he can.
You could.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be an outward jerk because that gets around. But nobody would ever know if you withheld information. Nobody would ever know that.
Right.
412-928-9370. Let's continue this very intriguing conversation.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.